This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is another podcast of the World Wide Wave on joy.org.au.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community. This is the World Wide Wave.
Welcome to World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. Tonight you're here with Heath, Matt and Chris, and our new podcast volunteer extraordinaire, Damien, sitting in. Thanks very much to the team from Generation Next for another very interesting Monday evening. So tonight, we are heading to Brazil, the next host of the world's two largest and most prestigious sporting events, the 2014 World Cup and the 2016 Olympic Games. But as sporting fans and international tourists start planning their trips to Rio, citizens of Brazil are taking to the streets for a very different reason, protesting in immense numbers the huge divisions between the rich and the poor people of Brazil. Now, this gap isn't something that just affects general Brazilian society, but something that impacts directly on LGBT people. And tonight, our guest, Lucas Paoli Itaboray from Micro Rainbow International, will be speaking on exactly that. Micro Rainbow International is a London-based NGO, and it addresses the situation of poverty of LGBTI people worldwide.
And we're also going to dial across live to Brazil to speak to Almir Messida, who's a journalist and radio producer, for some totally live and up-to-date news there. Time to get into Brazil. Let's explore a bit more with some fun, fast facts.
So, as we will hear from Lucas very soon, Brazil is a bit of an enigma, you know, another one of these countries that is very progressive in some ways and very restrictive in others. So, homosexuality has been decriminalized for yonks, and same-sex marriage is now legal, but it's legal in a very funny way. Essentially, what happened was, rather than going through a normal legislative process in Brazil, it was actually the courts that decided that that marriage equality was the go. So a number of cases were brought to different levels of Brazil's courts since 2004, and as recently as May of this year, the National Council of Brazil, which I believe is the highest court, essentially said that a type of civil union which recognises same-sex couples at the moment is equivalent to a marriage, and so any couples in this sort of union are able to get their union converted into a marriage, essentially. But it's a three-state process, so rather than just, you know, going down to City Hall and saying, I want to get married to my same-sex partner, you need to establish that you have a long-term union and then get it converted by a judge. So it's much less romantic.
And it has actually gone through the courts this year, so same-sex marriage is fully legal. A vote of 14-1 went through, so overwhelmingly supportive.
Which is wonderful, so we're just waiting for some legislative change so that people can just go down to City Hall and do it the easy way.
And following on to that whole party atmosphere thing, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, Sao Paulo Gay Pride is the world's biggest gay pride parade. 4 million people.
Can you imagine 4 million kilograms of feathers?
That's a lot of weight.
It is. It's a lot of beds.
We're going to talk about transgender. While the term transgender, as used in the United States and Europe, has come to encompass all gender-variant individuals, including female-to-male transsexuals, drag queens and kings, and intersex individuals, in Brazil, the social phenomenon of transgenero largely consists of individuals who were assigned male at birth and identify as women. Transgender people in Brazil fall into two categories, transvestis or transvestites and transsexuals. Although for Brazilians, the two terms are interchangeable. And Brazil's public health system provides free sex change operations.
Free sex change operations. Wow, I can't think of many places at all that would include that in their public health system.
Can you imagine going into the hospital here and pulling out your Medicare card? I'd like a sex change, please.
Yeah, imagine.
Perhaps not.
They do it. The state actually funds, I think, half of the operation.
Really? That's an amazing fact. So next country we have to go to is Iran. And as we will hear from Lucas coming up as well, even though the situation for trans people medically might be quite progressive, the situation for them on the ground is much more dire, with poverty being a huge issue. And that's part of Lucas's research.
And with poverty goes a bit of violence as well. Now, Brazil is one of the most violent countries in the world, with one of the highest murder rates in the world. And there has been some estimates done about the number of gay people murdered, and it's quite frightening. In 2012, 77% of Brazilians supported the explicit criminalisation of homophobia, and that's partly in relation to the number of murders. They're looking at roughly 159 LGBT people murdered each year.
159? 1,200 in the last decade, according to the International Gay and Lesbian Human Rights Commission, which is atrociously high.
And this is almost exclusively to gay men. So only 2% of the attacks are lesbians.
And it's also important to note that a number of these hate crimes are actually committed by the police. So it looks like you're not entirely safe there with law enforcement.
Exactly. So not quite all roses, despite the fact that you are able to be married. But we're going to explore those issues tonight as we explore some of the ups and the downs in Brazil's culture and homelessness leading into the big events that are coming up.
This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
Hello, you're on the World Wide Wave, and we are in Brazil tonight with Heath, Matt, Chris and Damien. Next up, we are speaking to Lucas from Micro Rainbow International, which is a London-based NGO which addresses the situation of poverty of LGBTI people worldwide. And we started off by talking about politics in Brazil and how it is affected by religious conservatives.
We have, and this isn't a big issue that we are facing right now, is that the religious and conservative opposition is increasingly getting more support and really pushing against the LGBTI community. And they've kind of dominated so much the debate. And we have, you know, a great amount of evangelical and Catholic politicians in our Senate, and they've been, you know, really jeopardizing the progress and really hindering any kind of legal developments. So we have our executive power, we have the federal government, we have, you know, a human rights secretary, a human rights ministry, an LGBT coordination, we have, you know, wonderful things. Our Supreme Court has made, you know, wonderful decisions, but when it comes to our parliament, the religious opposition is really getting bigger and bigger. And it is so serious that recently an evangelical pastor was elected to the president of the Human Rights and Minorities Commissions of our parliament, who is not only conservative, but is known for making public speeches against the LGBTI community.
And has that been made clear in his work so far, or is it still too early to tell?
No. It is like the country, there has been so many manifestations and rallies all around the country. Public people, artists are speaking out, making campaigns against him. And not only against him, but the whole situation, you know, how come we have it's a human rights and minorities commissions of our parliament, and we have, you know, someone who is outspoken not only against LGBTI people, but against also African descendants, against women, so very conservative views, and he's very outspoken with that. So this is very serious, what's happening at the moment, because it really makes, you know, our human rights situation impossible, really, to progress and, you know, to have, you know, equal rights for everyone.
Can you tell me about the situation for transgender and intersex people living in Brazil?
All right. Legally, there are no substantial laws that, you know, protect, you know, their rights. besides some states that have anti-discrimination clauses against gender identity discrimination. That's true. But we don't have like a law that recognizes gender reassignment surgeries, although some hospitals, they are allowed to perform such surgeries. The government has issued normatives allowing them to do that so. And also names, changes of names are also allowed in public offices and in certain jobs and in certain states as well, because I told you like it varies a lot from state to another. So but they're not still, I think there's still a lot that needs to be done for the trans and intersex community. Our intersex community is actually not very well organized yet, not very visible, I would say. Our trans community, especially the trans women, are, you know, they've been on the road and they are very well organized for a long time. And the trans men community is like just being developed at the moment as we speak. And in a sense, the trans community, and especially I'm saying when includes in Brazil, it's very important that, you know, distinguish between transvestites and transsexuals. But, you know, I would like to say trans people in general, they face several problems in terms of, you know, social discrimination and violence. And I was, you know, there has been, you know, lots of cases of police abuses and so many harassments and assaults. And lately, I was able to perform a research in the city of Rio with lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and including transgenders, lots of trans women, on the issue of discrimination and poverty. And you know, so far, one thing that I can see is that, you know, when it comes to discrimination, when it comes to acceptability, the trans community is still the one that has been most affected. This is the one that suffered the most. It's been in all the interviews that I've made, you know, both lesbians, gays, or transsexuals, they made it clear how difficult it is for trans people because they cannot hide who they are. And so they are, you know, very visible out there, and because the society is still very, there's still, you know, many traces of sexism and of heteronormativity in our society. So whereas, for example, for a man or for a gay man or for a lesbian woman, it's easier for them to find jobs because they can behave accordingly to the social norms and morals. Whether if you are a trans woman, you know, it's more difficult. So it means that it's harder for them to find jobs. They're more likely, you know, to face economical difficulties, and they're more likely to be socially excluded and more likely to face situations of poverty.
Weeknights on Joy 94.9. Sharing your passions.
It's the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9, where tonight we're in Brazil, and that was the voice of Lucas Paoli Itabore from Micro Rainbow International, looking at LGBT people, homelessness and poverty, particularly in Brazil. And this issue of transgenderism and the transgender community being the most at risk, suffering the most. He said there that they cannot hide who they are, and that therefore creates all sorts of problems, being able to try and find a job, being able to just live.
I mean, it's incredibly interesting to think that this is a country where heteronormativity is so strong that, you know, LGBT people are required at times to, you know, to, I guess, masquerade and hide their sexuality. But then I suppose what happens for people who can't do that, and that would be the case for many members of our trans community.
It's incredible, as you said, it's a real machoism, isn't it? It's the culture is so chest beating that things outside the norm don't fit in, and yet, you know, here in Australia, dressing up in drag is something that is not only totally acceptable but encouraged on things like the Footy Show.
Yeah, I wonder if it's another case of, you know, it's a time and place, you know, when Rio is celebrating Carnival, all of a sudden this kind of dressing is okay, but then in general life, if you live as a trans person, all of a sudden this is something that, you know, you're required to hide if possible, and if not, suffering the consequences, I suppose.
Now, we're going to explore this a bit more with Lucas after a break and find out a bit more about the situation of poverty and leading into some of the biggest sporting events that are going to go on in Brazil, coming up with the Olympics, the Rio Olympics, and the soccer they've got coming,
and
haven't
the
they?
Soccer, yes. If I can save enough money, I will go, hopefully, fingers crossed.
You're on the World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9.
From Cameroon on Joy 94.9.
Tonight we are in Brazil, and that's time to hear more from our guest, Lucas Paoli Itabore from Micro Rainbow International.
The work of Micro Rainbow International, which is a new NGO based in London, it's incredibly interesting because I think for the first time we have an organisation that's focusing specifically on the issue of poverty in the LGBTI community. And so this was part of that research that you did for them?
Yeah, it was part of my research. It's a new organisation. We've just launched our website, www.micro/rainbow.com. We're doing different research at the moment. One is this one in Rio in Brazil, and the other one with lesbians and gay refugees in the UK. And we'll be doing research in different countries very soon. Our main goal at the moment is really to map the situation of poverty among LGBTI people worldwide and really highlight trends and make policy recommendations and ways to really allow LGBTI people step out of poverty.
Can you tell me more about the findings of the research you've been conducting in Brazil?
Okay, one of the findings I have already shared, which is about, you know, how trans women or trans population are more vulnerable to the situation of poverty. Okay, well, one thing, you know, that I can clearly say is that at the moment is that, you know, most of our interviews, they really feel that LGBTI people have less opportunities than heterosexual people. And, you know, many of them, they face several types of discrimination, not only because they are gay or lesbian, or because they are also poor and they are Afro-descendant and they live, you know, in poor areas. So there's like different inner women, so there's different racial, gender, sexual orientation, economic situation, different levels of discrimination they face. And that makes everything, you know, life much harder for them. But also, another thing that was nice finding out in my research was that in some places, in some cities, like in the city of Rio de Janeiro, the city, you know, there's been some progress. There's now, they have now done a very interesting project to integrate trans people, trans women, into the community by offering them a chance to do some sort of internships. So they focus, you know, on giving them more education, allowing them to have more job opportunities, and, you know, to improve their chances of, you know, getting a job. It is. Something that is incredibly important.
And is there any counter-education, so for employers to look at accepting diversity in the workplace, for example, or training for employers to train their employees to accept differences in the workplace?
There hasn't still been quite such a thing, but it's something that we as Micro-M International would like to work in the future.
From your interviews, if you're able to share with us, okay, are there any stories of perhaps a participant who particularly touched you, or, you know, a story that you think kind of highlights very well the difficulties that people do face when they are LGBTI and also poor?
There are many, many stories, because it was a very tough job for me to do. And really, you know, when you see situation that people really face, it's especially trans people, is quite sad and quite shocking. We have been through our website. We also have a blog where we are sharing some stories. People should feel free to follow us on Twitter and on Facebook and our website, and keep in track. We'll be sharing different views and different people before we have the report finally published.
And for the future, where do you hope to see Brazil in, 10 years' time or 20 years' time? What kind of society would you like?
It would be too utopic to say that LGBTI people would not suffer any kind of discrimination and violence in Brazil. But I expect that in a very short time, I hope, we still have all the essential laws protecting and recognizing the rights. Because I really think that, the law has a very powerful... is a powerful tool, not only to recognize some specific rights, but also to educate society and to make people aware and respectful of of the specificity of the sexual diversity. So I really hope that in a very short term we won't have any problems, legal problems. But of course, we will be focusing on other types of work, on educating society, on preventing discrimination at workplace and in many other instances.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Something for everybody.
That was Lucas Paoli Itaborai from Micro Rainbow International, and you're listening to The World Wide Wave. Tonight we are in Brazil. And so, Matt, I thought it was very interesting there where Lucas was telling us that, some people don't just face one level of discrimination based on their sexuality or their gender identity, but they face many layers of discrimination. And he gave the example of a trans woman who is also a black person and also poor. All of these obstacles, I suppose, that you have to face.
And I guess that issue of homelessness and being gay is something that is rarely dealt with at all. And certainly in a first world country like Australia, it's not even on the radar, is it?
No, it isn't. And it's something that should be, though, because, when you... I sing with a gay and lesbian choir, and when we sing at things like homeless services or old people's homes or other charities that work with the socially disadvantaged, that you find LGBT people in all of these communities, but because there aren't any programs focusing on them, they never get, I guess, the focus and attention that they deserve, and they're very unique problems, don't either.
Now we have a chance, through the wonders of modern technology, we're going live to Brazil at the moment. Almir Messeda, who's a journalist, TV and radio producer in northeast Brazil. Are you there, Almir?
Yeah, I'm here listening to you all.
Thanks for joining us. Almir, we've been speaking tonight.
Thank you for the call.
We've been speaking tonight about the issues of homelessness, and particularly thinking about what is coming for Brazil with lots of world attention. How significant is homelessness in Brazil?
Well, it's very, very significant. We have a very imbalanced economy, and on that we have a huge amount of illiterate people. And with that, what you get, the few jobs we have available don't resolve these people. Plus, living costs are humongous here. You could get your living costs here to a living cost of this in Europe. So these people are forced to either to resort to slums, or most of the time, they are forced to the streets, and they do need some public efforts that are vacant, and even organize themselves in some sorts of unions and syndicates.
Now, homelessness, you were saying, is a very significant issue. Is there any awareness in Brazil of gay people and homelessness?
Not really. Not really. We have lots of transvestites that are mainly aside
but there's no research or anything that actually point gay people as homeless in total, in general. You see, there's no statistics about it. Yeah. Nothing that I can really tell you about it in that sense. What we see is a lot of people addicted to crack, and amongst them, there are transvestites, which are prostitutes on the streets. And we can see them a lot, and they're sleeping on the streets and in the parks, but we can't see whether they are officially homeless or not.
Elmir, do you know if the Brazilian government has been doing anything to work with the sex worker community and the trans community to kind of to aid the situation of homelessness in the lead up to the Olympic Games and the World Cup?
No. No action whatsoever.
So far,
everything is behind on the Olympic Games or the World Cup. And the main worry is to finish the stadiums and try to finish the maquillage for the infrastructure that's lacking, such as airport, subway lines, things like that. Concerning people in general and, bettering the conditions of living for people, none has been actually talked about or even mentioned.
Something that happens often in the lead up to some big events is local government will undergo some pretty terrible cleaning up the city programs. So, you know, homeless people are moved out of, you know, kind of out of sight, out of mind, into the provinces or away from the city centres. Has any of that been happening in Brazil, or is it much more a situation of the government focusing on building stadiums and not so much on, you know, social poverty?
Well, in certain cities, there has been evacuation of areas to construct stadiums, especially in Rio. In Rio, there are some movements because some slums had to be moved in order to construct stadiums and in order to depollute aesthetically the city. So, in other parts of Brazil, they prevented that using areas that were not populated by homeless or by slums.
And is there any social movement by any organizations or organized by people living in slum dwellings to kind of protest their forced movement because of these sporting events?
Well, they do protest, but we do have a thing here. LGBT associations and organizations in general, they don't really get involved on these issues, you see. They're much more interested on marriage rights or taxes rights and things like that. They don't really address the poor, especially the black and the poor gay community. That's not really on the radar for most of the organizations I heard about.
I think that's quite
even though we. Oh, go on.
No, I was just saying, I think it's quite an interesting point that when we talk about LGBT issues, the issues that are usually focused upon are those that are civil and political, as opposed to, you know, as opposed to things that actually do affect LGBT people, such as things to do with poverty, for example, or things to do with education, or things to do with the provision of services are much less focused upon.
Oh, yeah. They did try to evolve on trying to diminish Birmingham schools. They tried to get some policies inside the public schools to, you know, help people to deal better with the differences. But that's as far as this goes.
And is there a sense of excitement within Brazil with the forthcoming Olympics?
No. For the general population, not at all.
Right.
Actually, for them, it's not worth it. For most of the people and the journalist community, myself speaking, it's a bore, it's a burden, and it's a money not so well spent.
And so you think there will not be a legacy that will help Brazil?
Not at all. You see, because what you have, taking an example of South Africa, we have huge stadiums there, but most of the pure population and low status quo population was very aside of it all.
And even the tourists didn't really bring money enough to generate employment or anything like that. So far what the politicians here say is that Brazil will have a better public system, a better transportation public system, that's all.
Elmir Messida, thank you for joining us live tonight from Brazil on the World Wide Wave.
Well, I'm thankful for the call, and whenever you guys want, I'm here.
And we do thank Elmir for taking the time to speak to us. Just one more to finish off Brazil, perhaps on a little bit of a high note. Lots of surprising things that he said there that I really wasn't expecting, having lived through the Olympics in Sydney and the hype and the fun and the results, to hear that, you know, well, everyone's a bit nonplussed. Mm. But there has been a ridiculously photogenic homeless guy went viral.
What is that?
Earlier this year in Brazil, a guy who was homeless who happened to be an ex-model, and he fell on some hard times and got into drugs and had some problems, but somebody snapped a photo of him and he was just deemed too good looking to be homeless, and it went viral.
Oh, so I suppose one person is benefiting from all the attention Brazil's getting, at least.
So did they do something about that? Like, they too good looking to be homeless, or did someone put him in a home? Or
it didn't seem to get him a new fashion contract or anything, no. But anyway, time to chat a worldwide wrap. We've got time for just a couple of stories from around the world.
Leap over to the United Arab Emirates, and apparently Kuwait, they want to start screening for gay people.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, how does one screen for, not screamer, screen.
Screen.
Okay, screen,
yes.
For gay
so
people.
So apparently there are going to be some screening tests that will be run as part of routine checks to assess the health of expatriates planning to return to the GCC member nation. So Yusuf Mindkar, the nation's director of public health, has told the Kuwait local daily paper, "We will take stricter measures that will help us to detect gays who will then be barred from entering Kuwait or any of the other of the GCC member states." So homosexuality is illegal in all of the GCC member countries, which include Bahrain, Kuwait, Saudi Arabia and the UAE.
But this is particularly significant because by barring them through one, it seems to flow through to the others.
Correct.
And very interestingly, they are barring returning expatriates. Is
exactly.
that what it says? And so, you know, these usually I have heard that there is a little bit of in-country tolerance for people who are kind of already established in their own businesses, or they might be CEOs of companies, and so there's a bit of, you know, do your own thing and we're not going to bother with you.
Yes, but the concerning thing is they haven't actually specified what these routine health checks will consist of.
So we can only hope that it's an empty threat. But in slightly brighter news, in local news, the incredible Minus 18, who are Victoria's big LGBT youth organisation, have started up an amazing new initiative that I wanted to give a bit of a plug. So Minus 18 have launched a new project called All of Us, and the very exciting thing that they are planning on doing is creating video resources which will go into all the schools of the Victorian and Australian curriculum. So these are resources that are set to affect, you know, thousands and thousands of young people. And the thing that they're doing is they're having these incredible young people who identify as LGBT speak to their peers through these videos about their life and about the people that they love and about what it was like for them to come out. And I think the aim is to show other young people that, you know, being gay, lesbian, bisexual or trans is just the same as being, you know, as being heterosexual. So if you're interested in this project, do have a Google, look up Minus 18, and on their front page you'll see the All of Us link and click through because it's an amazing video.
That is absolutely fantastic, and we've spoken with countries, particularly in the north of Europe, the more advanced, I guess, in LGBT rights, who've started on school programs. So that is a really positive outcome. We've had a massive show looking at Brazil and its issues around LGBT and homeless people and transgender. Big thank you to Lucas Paoli Itabore from Micro Rainbow International. We'll pop that link on our Facebook page. And Almir Messida, a journalist and radio producer who spoke to us live in northeast Brazil. So from the team here on World Wide Wave, we look forward to seeing you next week on Joy 94.9.
Thank you for listening to the World Wide Wave podcast. We're always looking for interested guests and news tips. You can email us at worldwidewave@joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.